Kilo Zulu 8 Zulu, just trying the 2.6 since the changes have been made. That you, Dave? This is me. Good morning.
All right, what's your operating parameters? Are you on the 2.6?
Yes, I am, and I'm at home sitting at the desk. I'm on the MD 9600, 40 watts.
Well, you're full quieting. Can you take it down to lower power?
Yeah, if I can figure out how to do that. I haven't done that in a long time. Give me a sec here. That's ridiculous, I know.
I mean, just in your... You know, in your travels, you know where it has and hasn't been working. See if it's improved at all. Phil and I went in there yesterday to putz with it. I went in there with, you know, my comm monitor and everything else. Sensitivity on the receiver is great. There's no descents. The antenna's got no reflected power. Unfortunately, I couldn't sweep it. My good device is out. But so there was no explanation for it, and it seemed to be working better when we left. So then I started thinking, did I just bump something? I had a flaky cable, so I tried to whack the cables. I couldn't get it to go bad again. So I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I never like these ones where it's a close and play, you know, and I don't know what I did to fix it. So we're watching it carefully.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to... pay attention when I'm out and about in the car, because that's where I really know where I can hit it and not hit it. Especially driving, sitting in my driveway. Obviously at home, I never had an issue with it. It's kind of my home repeater because it works great even with that attic antenna that I've got. But in my car, there's some zones, as you know, around where I live where it kind of dips into these little bowls. So I'll pay attention closer around there. Yeah, I didn't notice anything because I was gone for a couple weeks, and it happened during that time frame. So when I got back, I heard you guys testing. I was like, something must have happened. And Phil's is working great now, and I fully attribute that, and I hope he's listening, to the help that he had that day, the couple of guys he had standing around him. That's really what made it better. I'm convinced on that.
Me too. Now, what about you? What are you running, Greg?
Yeah, just tuned in. I just fired up the radio and you guys were talking. Dave on that 9600 on the radio itself, hold the P1 button down and then do the up and down arrows to change your power. I'm on the same situation, the 9600. I did lower it to 5 watts on my attic antenna, Sean. So how copy should be good.
Might be a little snow in there. I had to turn the volume up pretty high to catch it. You're perfect into it. So how does that rank with where it's been lately, or have you ever had a problem from home?
No, I've never had a problem from home, but I'll know when I get in the car. same as Dave, where the weird spots are and whatnot. And yeah, it's kind of a good news, bad news that you got some good results when you went there, and but you're not quite sure if anything actually happened. So I don't know. Seems real good here right now. So, I would know better when I'm out and about.
All right. Well, let me check. My Enritsu is back to the factory. We sent it in for some major upgrades and came back broken, so we sent it back out. I've got some other antenna analyzers, but I really wanted that one. So I just grabbed my Rig Expert, and for some reason I just could not get the thing to sweep the antenna at all. I don't know what the hell was going on there. So, I never did get to sweep it, but I've got, I've got 200 watts forward and almost nothing reflected, barely budging the needle. So there's no reflected power. You know, so if I had a real problem, I'd have reflected power. It doesn't mean the antenna is going to sweep well, but it's matching well. So that's the only thing I don't know for sure. But everything else, like I said, it's bothering me. I checked the desense. There's virtually no desense. The thing's got, like, .2 microvolt sensitivity through the duplexer. I'm like, holy cow, it's, like, way too sensitive. But, if there's such a thing. But by all rights, that thing should be working like a rave date. So I'm just confused.
Could it have been water? Just a guess, by the way, I'm at 5 watts right now.
Okay, maybe a little, a little snow in there, a little crackle, bacon fry. But it's very light. You could run like that all day. And no, I don't think it's water. One thing that I am suspect about why I want to sweep the antenna is this CommScope HeliX. Kind of the new recipe, so to speak, and the connectors are very different than the connectors I'm used to working with. They were put on by Celtex that put up the antennas for me, and they didn't do a good job putting up the antennas. I got to get them back out to straighten them up because the VHF one's leaning quite significantly, and even the UHF one isn't up, perfectly vertical. So. I got to get them back out and take care of that. And I don't like the way the connectors spin on the end of the cable. That just don't seem right. How could it be making a good clamp on the ground if it moves? So I don't know if the guys that put my stuff up, I can fix the connector, although I'm really, really not comfortable with this new CommScope hardline, especially these sizes, because it's like the 2 1/4 stuff. It's the big stuff, and I'm really not comfortable with these connectors on the new AVA series CommScope hardline. But either way, I could fix the one on the bottom. But if they didn't do the one on the bottom right, two of them, then what's the chance that they did the two at the top of the tower right? So that's what's bothering me.
Go ahead, Greg. We'll get this in some sort of order.
Okay, yep, I understand that, Sean. It's kind of like scratching your head going, not feeling confident about any or all of it. But right now it seems to be working good. I'm still on 5 watts. I don't know, Dave, if you can hear the little bit of snow, but when you switch to 5 watts, I can hear the snow in yours. And again, like Sean said, it's just a little bit. So we can compare at least this, our two stations, if anything changes, if you hear snow on mine. WAP.
And there goes the neighborhood.
There's the vasectomy dude.
Morning, everyone. Just listening in. Greg, I sent you a link, but Sean beat me to it, so you might already have it.
Oh, no, I'm saying I have the link and I signed up. I don't know that Greg's got it. I didn't get it to him.
Well, I sent it to him then. So, hey, Greg, on your little handy talkie, the de facto standard is Groups IO, the super secret sites that if you're messing with those radios to go to Groups. So I sent you the link. You have to subscribe, but they have all the files and stuff there, and everything you want to know about Midland radios is there. Go ahead, John.
All right, well, I got to get out of here. We're going to breakfast. I got to get ready and get out the door. 12 Mile in Orchard Lake, 9 o'clock, if you can make it. A place called Scramblers. It's in the Slack, or not Slack. What do we call this thing? Discord. Anyhow, but I got to get cleaned up, get ready to go. I will catch you guys from the car in a bit. W8FU.
Sounds good, Sean. Talk to you soon. By the way, I'm at 10 watts now, Greg. I could hear on your output just a little bit of snow in the background, but, you know, if we didn't say anything or weren't talking about it, I might not even notice it. So I'm up to 10 watts now. I just turned on my HT2. I was thinking about walking out back with 5 watts on that and seeing how that goes, but do that maybe later on. I need another cup of Joe. By the way, thanks for once again telling me how to operate my radio and changing the volume on the 9600. It's hilarious.
All right. Well, Sean, enjoy breakfast. Yeah, I saw that on the Discord for breakfast, but I'm not going to make it this morning. Wally, thanks. I got the URL for groups.io. And Dave, yeah, I had to kind of fumble with the radio myself to re-figure out how to do that. So, anyway, redoing my jerry-rigged charging on my battery here because I killed it, and it's hard getting this sticky tape to stick. So I'm messing with that, so I'm gonna step out for a little bit. KD8 VSI.
Okay, everyone have a good day. Sean, if you're still listening, I can't make it either. I got the grandkids. Mommy and Daddy went to a wedding last night, and I'm sure they're not going to get up till noon. So, talk to everyone later. WAPD. Bye, Dave.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys. I'm going to go grab another cup of Joe and try and wake up a little bit more. Okay, see you guys.
All righty. Everybody gone?
Good morning, Sean, KEAWOJ.
Good morning. What's shaking?
You apparently, finally somebody's out and about and on the radio. I've already been to Walmart, done some shopping, been home, put it away, and now relaxing on the porch.
Very good. I'm on my way to meet up with the water for Pontiac Brigade for breakfast. Although we're dropping down to Orchard Lake and 12 today to accommodate one of the Farmington constituents.
Oh, I'll be darned. That's my neck of the woods now. I kind of wanted to hit the cozy cabin there, but I got up Saturday morning and I just wasn't feeling that great, so I kind of missed it.
Yeah, we have there's a lot of things going on down this way. We do a Saturday breakfast every Saturday morning at 12 Mile and the Quinter in Warren. But, you know, the guys that come from Waterford, Pontiac area, you know, so, I mean, it's not a big cruise, but it's a cruise nonetheless. So every now and again, and they don't come to that often, so we try to get together maybe once a month. We try. It's harder in the winter months, and because we've got a couple of snowbirds, and we've got, one snowbird in the group. But, so we try to get together there when we think of it. It's not official. It's just somebody has to say it, and nobody ever remembers to say it. So the other day, one of the guys says, breakfast Sunday? Everybody was like, sure. So here we are. So just getting on 696 here. I will be able to use it on the way there for a pretty quick trip, about 15 minutes. Coming home, I'm going to have to navigate the wilds.
Yes, sir. Well, that's kind of great you guys do that. It's always nice to put a face with the voice.
Yeah, like I said, these ones on the, what I like to say, the West Side or the Waterford, you know, they're pretty impromptu. But the Saturday one in Warren at 12 Mile in the Quinter, that one's carved in stone. That one every Saturday. And I don't know what we had yesterday. We must have had God, there must have been 20. It's usually a pretty darn good crowd. We overflowed all the ones that they can conveniently put together, and they had to spread out into some of the other booths. A lot of guys from Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club show up, and then some others, and there's even a few GMRS guys that show up there, but almost everybody has transitioned over to ham now. I don't know if there's any exclusive GMRS guys, but they're welcome if they're interested in more than just, you know, simple radio.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to the Cozy Cabin there a couple of times, and it was always a pretty good crowd. And then I think it's Livonia Amateur Radio Club has a Saturday morning, too, over up at 275 down around, I don't know, if it must be in Livonia, I guess, just off of 275 east of that about, oh, I don't know, a mile or two. Gone to that once or twice, too.
All right, I didn't know you made it to the Cozy Cabin. Gosh, it's hard to imagine we haven't met. I've hardly missed one.
Yeah, I went a couple times last year, but I haven't been back since. It was kind of it was a little bit of a drive there kind of thing. But actually, I was going to wander down too, and I was going to hit a gun shop on the way back, but they didn't open until quite a bit later, so I didn't really want to hang around. And I think you guys on the Cozy Cabin were kind of out of there by about 9 or 9:30, something like that.
Yeah, more like 10. We're usually drag our feet and are hanging around there. I'd say we're there at about 10. Everybody gets there about, I think some people get there around 8, but between 8 and 8:30. Although it's been pushing earlier and earlier. And I got there, you know, now quarter after most everybody's there. There's still a few people that come later. But it was 9, but a bunch of people were showing up at 8:30. So it just became 8:30, and then the guys that pushed it to 8:30 started pushing it to 8. So it's like kind of annoying, but everybody's resisted pushing it any earlier than that.
Yeah, especially if they're still working Monday through Friday. That makes sense. Well, you guys seem to get together quite a bit, or at least more than anybody else. Didn't you guys get together at Bald Mountain here not too long ago?
Yeah, by the way, let me know. I worked on the repeater yesterday, and I'm running medium power quarter wave antenna. And I'm down in the bowels of 696, so let me know if I get compromised. But, yeah, they do that a lot. They do larks in the parks and photos and things like that. So a lot of that goes on as well.
Yeah, that's nice you guys get together. I went out with Jim, the guy that's net control for that morning roundtable on NADUI, IPC or Ann Arbor repeater over there. And he was doing a photo over here by me, so I asked him if he minded if I came and watched. It was very cool. Yeah, I think in a half hour, he had something like 32 contacts. And a really nice little portable setup. And, yeah, you're doing real good. Your signal, there's just a teeny little bit of popcorn, but it's really nothing.
All right, well, it's going to get really bad because I am going underneath one of those tunnels on 696 right now. I don't know what I'm at. Now I'm coming out from underneath that tunnel on 696, coming up here on... what is this, the Southfield Freeway exit. So that's about as bad as it gets right there.
As soon as you said right now, you disappeared for a couple seconds, and then we're right back.
All right, yeah. No, you go, you know, I don't know if you've been in those tunnels on 696, I'm sure at some point. It's hard to get anywhere out from underneath those.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. I've been through there, and every time I do, I'm a little nervous, especially if it's raining. I imagine everybody getting stuck and flooded in there.
Yeah, it's getting some noise on the transmitter. really shouldn't have. I really wonder if I got an antenna issue. I mean, it's matching all right, but it sure ain't, it didn't sweep. I couldn't get it to sweep, but I didn't have my commercial stuff. I had, you know, my cheesy amateur antenna analyzer, so I'm going to wait when I get my really good commercial antenna sweep.
I bought one of those Nano VNAs there for that reason. I always kind of wanted to start building and testing a bunch of different kind of antennas kind of thing, but never got around to it. So I played with that a little bit, but I always wanted a real antenna analyzer. So I mean, didn't have to work so hard setting up kind of thing. Well, I guess that's not that hard to set up, but it's all SMA connections, so it was a little bit of a pain.
Yeah, I went through two of those. I ended up sending both back for different reasons, and they were okay. But you know, there's a lot of finagling you got to do to get them, you know, working. I mean, it's not bad. And I ended up getting a rig expert, one of the sticks. Very convenient. You can keep it, you know, in your go kit, and works really well. Now I noticed that it didn't work really well for me yesterday. But I may have a problem. That may be it. And I use that one more for HF, you know, and whatnot. I don't use it really for HF to HF. But traffic here, a little first mix. You know, if I was if I'm doing 90 HF to HF stuff, I'm using it.
It's kind of strange, but the closer you get, the worse you sound. Starting to kind of drift in and out.
Well, I'm on the Warren repeater. That's what I'm trying to test. So I'm getting farther away from it.
Oh, gotcha. Now that one was real good.
Right, right. Now I just switched over to the West Bloomfield, so I'm on the same one as you now. So I should be rock solid.
Sounds like you're sitting in a chair next to me. Well, I'm still bouncing around the idea of the clear node there. I decided I started wanting to read the manual, so I started looking for a manual, and then I realized the whole node venture site is the manual.
Yeah, I don't know them to really have anything, you know, in paper or downloadable. Maybe you can download it, but I don't know if you've heard us talking about them, but I will absolutely unabashedly say that I literally invented the idea of the pocket all-star node. I scoured the internet just about six, seven years ago. I looked everywhere for anyone that was doing anything in a small portable all-star node that, you know, and nobody was doing anything. People were doing things with mobiles, or they would take handhelds and they put them in a little fishing tackle box. That was the only one that was out there. So the guy was making them in. He put them in a little plastic, those little yellow plastic tackle boxes, and he put like two Bofang radios, and he'd do up a fob and all that stuff. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I got a website, a blog dedicated to the ones that I was building. It's under my old call, WXADL. And but I was literally the only one building anything like it. In fact, I talked to the guy from Sherry, you know, the Sherry node guy, and I saw him at a swap, and I go, man, since you started making them, I just tell people do that instead of buying one of mine. He looks at me and he goes, I don't do what you do. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, mine doesn't include the Pi. I went, oh, really? Yeah, that time he only had the Brian, I think it was. So you had to plug it into a Pi. So now you have two pieces. Mine was all one, you know, one piece, like a, you know, like the hat. And I went, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. He goes, but I'm working on it. I said, okay, great, let me know. So that was about
I don't know, 5 years ago or whatever. Let's see, is that where I'm going? Yep, that's where I'm going. All right, I have found my destination. We don't need her jabbering in my ear. But the reason I bring it up, hold on. The reason I bring it up is that, you know, being the quote-unquote, you know, inventor of the original, you know, first, you know, pocket All-Star note, many people still haven't run my pocket All-Star notes, and they're still just rocking. I think they were better than the Sharis. The RF deck I used, I'm embarrassed to say, was a Bofang, but it was better than the SA-818 that he was using. And to this day, my notes work better than his. But mine are homebrew, you know, they're not commercial like he did. Yeah, missed opportunity, maybe. But anyhow, having said that, I've switched to a clear note. I could build one for a fraction of the cost, a third of the cost. But I've switched to a clear note, and you know what? It's all I use. I'm a total convert. The guy's software package is so nice and so well done. Pay the man and be happy. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I was looking at the kits for hams, I guess some fella in Detroit there, and I noticed the same thing. Some of them came with the Raspberry Pi, and some didn't, and whatever, and I thought, well, since I don't really know what I'm doing, the ClearNote seems to be an all-in-one. If you send them some info there, it even sets it up for you. You just pull it out and plug it in and go. I'm getting to like that idea. I used to like messing with the stuff and learning and, you know, researching along the way, but the old foggy brain just ain't working that great anymore, so if I can just plug and play, that's fine with me.
Hey, let me know, how am I making it into the Warren machine from Scramblers here?
Fantastic. Nice and clear, good signal, no popcorn, no static, no nothing. Pretty much the same as being on the West Bluefield, except the volume's a little bit lower.
All right, well, I switched back over to West Bloomfield. All right, I have arrived, and the party I'm supposed to be meeting with is supposed to be here, so I'm going to keep my eye peeled and go see what's going on. And, boy, the parking lot's awfully empty here for a breakfast place on a Sunday morning. Maybe everybody's in church.
Okay, well, have a good breakfast there. I'm just watching a doe is wandering up for a little visit and a little bit of breakfast, I suppose. So anyway, have a good breakfast and a good day, and be careful out there, and I'll catch you down the road. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for the checks. W8FU. Hey, Murph, you got a mobile in that whatever vehicle you picked?
I got a portable.
Ah, there you go. He must have taken the Mustang.
Nope, I didn't reprogram the new PL in this, and I didn't remember until I got into it, so I grabbed an HT. I'm up at 13 miles, so I'll be there in a minute or two.
All right, no big deal. Just pulled up, so.
Very bueno, N-A-N-M.
W8FU.
Breakfast at 12 in Orchard Lake.
Yeah, that's where I'm heading. I don't hear anybody.
Sean, another fella just pulled in there 10 minutes ago, so maybe some of the others were already there.
Okay. On my way, ABP.
Phil, owner of the West Bluefield Repeater?
It is.
Good morning, young man, and thank you very much for the repeater.
Oh, you're welcome. Who's this?
Rick, I live in West Bloomfield, just about a mile from the repeater, right down near Lone Pine and Middlebelt.
Oh, yeah. WOJ, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sounds good. Oh. Yeah, I just found out I'm not the only ham in Sylvan Lake. There's a lady I met who's also a ham. So I'll try to get her on the air, at least on this repeater.
Well, excellent. Before I got my license, which was only 2 years ago, I did a search on ARRL there for hams within 5 miles of my area. There was something like 35 or 40 of them. It was a big, long list of them kind of thing, but I never hear any of them on the air.
Yeah, well, you don't know what the NHF or who knows what. There's a guy's house I pass all the time on Green Road. He's got an HF beam on his roof. I was wondering who that is.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of those that probably do at HF, they're not too fond of the repeaters, apparently. HF is great, but I'm a tech and going digital, I can talk all over the world kind of thing, and I don't need a whole lot of antennas, so that's kind of a it's kind of a good thing, I guess. Yeah, well, in a way, it's a bad thing because I really don't feel like I need a general or an extra. But who knows?
Yeah, Roger. What's interesting is this guy's property is raised up compared to his neighbors. He's got about 10 feet. His property's raised up over the neighbors on each side of him. I think it's probably purposely for to get his antenna up higher.
Yeah, I started wondering why I can get quite a long ways to 25, 30 miles to the southeast, southwest, or south and southwest, but going east, west, or north, I can't get half that distance. So I started looking at topographic maps and found out that going south or southwest, southeast, I'm a couple hundred feet higher than the rest of the ground there, so it probably helped a whole lot.
Yeah, well, quite high up here, but there's a ridge to the northwest that's hard to get over. That runs kind of like through Holly and whatever, makes it difficult.
Yeah, you're right. I figured Clarkson would be an easy reach from here, and sometimes it isn't. A lot of times it isn't.
Yeah. I wish if I could choose any place to live in this area, the corner, basically just slightly south of Walnut Lake on Drake, it is really high up there, and you can just, from up there, you can just see, like, to downtown Detroit. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, I love heading down Walnut Lake to the end of the road there at Hagerty and shopping at Meijer there, because it just seems like a country road, a country highway, and then that 2 miles of gravel, there's always full of turkey and deer, and it's always a great trip. But, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. There's a Drainer Road in Oxford there. There's a little pull-off you can look, and you can see all the way to downtown from there. I used to, when I was in CB in the mid-70s there, I lived up on a hill in Oxford there, and the house, a big farmhouse, and I could look out the picture window, and I could see I was over top of the water tower. So by the time I got a Starduster put up on the second story of that farmhouse there, you could get out a long ways with 5 watts.
elevation is king. No question about it. Not necessarily for true for HF, but for VHF and UHF, absolutely.
Yeah, and I kind of got roped in at the time. The way I got into CV was a guy I worked for. We were doing rough carpentry, building homes and stuff. He wanted to get something else going, so he got a little CV store in Oxford there. He conned me into doing the installs, and I found out how important the SWR was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You have the best system in the world, and if your SWR is got a problem. And that's what happened with the repeater. I mean, you know, with, that's why it was up. It was suffering for so long. Because we had a huge SWR problem. Finally got it all straightened up.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, it seemed like when I first got my license, and I thought, man, I really lucked out, because one of the best repeaters in the area was just a mile away. And I remember in the evenings, Monday through Friday, about 11:30, I'd hear a guy and his wife. The wife was coming home from a GM plant in Lansing. And it sounded like they were right here with me.
Oh, okay. Through this machine? That's surprising. I don't remember that.
They were on every night, well, you know, like Monday through Friday, and about 11:30 at night. And so I thought, well, they're sounding pretty good. I wonder if I can make it. And it was just an HT. And, it was fine. They were commenting about what a great repeater it was. It reached way over there. It wasn't real busy. Had a really good footprint. Sounded great. They were pretty tickled with it.
Okay, because I don't think, this doesn't reach to Lansing, so it must have been when you got closer to home.
I used to hear when she'd get out of work there, and then all the way on the whole drive home there, and he stayed on the radio because apparently there's so many deer over there in that area that he wanted to make sure she didn't end up hitting deer on the way home.
Yeah, that is a problem. My wife got hit by a deer. She didn't hit the deer. The deer hit her. Going up Telegraph of last year, it just ran or was running across Telegraph and just ran right into the side of her.
Yeah, I used to wear a contract in a place around 8 Mile and Telegraph there. And one morning on the way to work, me and this other fellow were right. He was driving. I was sightseeing, and right at the interchange there at Telegraph and 696, this great big buck was stuck in a one of the entrance ramps kind of thing. Every way he tried to go, there was just traffic everywhere. He was going crazy. I figured, oh, it's too bad, because sooner or later he's going to get hit trying to cross anywhere, any direction he goes.
Yeah, that'd be crazy to get stuck there. All right, I'm just about here, so 7-3, nice talking to Richard, and catch you down the road, ABAPR.
Okay, Phil, have a good breakfast and a good day, and be careful out there, and we'll catch you later. KE8WOJ, I'll be clear.
KF8CFU, Fox 8, Charlie Express Uniform Monitor.
All righty then.
Hey, I got a question. So just so I'm clear about what you said about the 2500, if I could find one with a full keypad on the front that's like a 7800 mag for dirt cheap, and I get the other one, you can swap that out, right?
Yeah, we can. We can, as long as we got the parts, you can. We can make whatever you need. Get the basic radio, or you could the other way. If you could find an RF deck, a 2500 RF deck, we could. We could, and then get a really nice, 800. So any combination you need as little as the RF deck, as much as a radio, and then so you just need all the necessary parts. We can make them all play together.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to do some shopping. All right. Good breakfast.
Wow, 11:12, long breakfast. Well, we started at 9, that's right. I got to say, we usually go to 10, but this one is a little later.
Wow, it's so hazy. I'm right alongside the tower. I can't even see the antenna. Oh, there it is, barely. Amongst the haze.
You think this is the fires, the haze?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. They were talking about it on the news last night.
All right, so I'm heading east. Should I take Telegraph north, or should I? What do you think is the best way? Do you have any clue? You probably don't come down here and go east anymore.
Well, if you look, if you use like Waze, it'll tell you to go down, go all the way down M10 to the Davison and across the 75. it's a lot of extra time, but I know I would go north on Telegraph to, I got that problem with construction. Well, Sunday might not be too bad. Go down 12 mile or even 13 mile all the way across. I did that the other day.
Yeah, I'm thinking Telegraph and then take that up to 13. That's probably the best. I know 12 gets a little persnickety.
Yeah, I had to go from Brighton out to Troy, and I ended up going, they said it was actually 1 minute faster, 1 or 2 minutes faster to go south on 10 to Davidson and up to I-75 versus going up Telegraph and taking Big Beaver across. And it was saved me like 2 minutes, but added 10 miles.
I know when I'm in Lansing, it tells me to take 69 into Flint and come down 75, and it's like only, it's within minutes, two minutes difference between the route they have you come dropping down. They always take you down the lodge, and, they want you to come, right now I'm at where they want you to go south on the lodge, and I'm going to try to avoid doing that. But it doesn't look like they're going to let me get the Telegraph. I don't know, I got to pay attention here. Or are they letting me get off here?
Yeah, south Telegraph is closed, but north, just stay in that right lane. I just did that the other day. It's open. It's a cloverleaf. So, yeah, like I said, I wish there was a setting in Waze that says, you know, only send me the longer distance if it saves more than, you know, 10 minutes or something.
All righty, it looks like I'm on North Telegraph. So, groovy. Take this up to, probably up to 13.
Yeah, that should work. It goes all the way through. Go by Chick-fil-A there. Oh, well, it's Sunday. They're closed.
So I have a question. We have an answer. So 12 mile east of Telegraph, is that a problem?
Shouldn't be. It's their construction is between like Northwestern and Telegraph. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's nothing going on east.
Having said that, Waze is having me skip. It knows I want to go to 12 in the Quinter, and it's having me go up to 13. So Waze usually has reasons.
All right, that's kind of what I was asking because I didn't know that 12 mile was an issue, and I took that east from Orchard Lake Road, and of course immediately the road is closed, diverting up to 13 mile, and so I'm going 13 mile east, and every single light is turning red as soon as you approach it, so for your convenience. All right, I'm done moaning. KAPD. Thank you.
And I'm right in front of Gorman's, north on Telegraph, just cross 12 mile road, so... Have you got the Telegraph yet?
Yeah, I just crossed it. So I'm just half a minute ahead of you or so. I'm heading in the same direction. I'm just trying to get to 11 in Woodward. And Google Maps said the same thing. It said 13 mile straight to Woodward. Do not go on 12 miles, so I'm trusting it.
I don't know what the problem with 12 mile is.
Yeah, I mean, You know, it knows I want to go to 12 in the Quinter, and it had me, originally it wanted me to take, you know, the lodge to the Davison thing, but once it realized I was on Telegraph, it completely bypassed 12 and took me up to 13.
I'm just trying to think if there's some other construction project on 12 mile missing.
So how well versed in Waze are you? I was a Google Maps guy. When Waze tells you to take another direction, is it usually pretty smart to follow its instructions?
Yeah, I've usually regretted when I haven't. He knows a lot. But like I said, it will take you 10 miles out of the way to save 1 minute. So I always check. When I'm suspicious, I always bring up the other routes. You can see, usually show three or four other routes, show you the miles and the time. And if I see, oh, okay, that's 1 minute and saves me 10 miles, I'll just tell it to use that route. I mean, the real advantage of Waze is that you get all the input from the other drivers, you know, a hazard in the road, smoky beer. accidents, things like that.
Smoky Bears. What's the first personal on that Smoky Bear?
Yeah. I can't believe it. I've never heard anybody say that. But, all right. I'm just about home. Catch you guys later. Have fun. ABAPR.
Oh, I got a laundry list of them. I just don't want to be that guy. But I thought there'd be a great... I wish there was a place you could post those pet peeves. We should make a list. Don't do this on ham radio and then make the list available anonymously so that we don't have to be that guy. I probably violated them all. Yeah, but how do you know if you don't know, right? So that's what I'm saying. We should publish the list. You know, and say, You know, don't do this. You know what I like to tell people? Act like you're being introduced to your mom's friend. How would you talk to her? Talk like that.
Hey, baby, what you wearing?
Push those Depends to the side.
I just spilled my coffee. I was laughing so hard. Good morning, gentlemen. W8RCY.
NHM, good morning.
Mouth to Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Who is that? Weezer? No. Who did that song?
All I'm going to say is, when we have breakfast on Saturdays, or you guys had breakfast this morning, check your mics. I guess we were spied on yesterday at breakfast. I received an email, and I forwarded it to Sean so Sean can read it when he gets home.
Probably one of them dudes with Vox. That was what was happening in the other time. So, what frequency were we keyed up on?
I surmise something on, like, probably one of the FBI's, because, you know, that's pretty much where we are all talking in the morning. But, I just opened the email about a half hour ago, and I saw it, and all I did was laugh. And I explained to the person who sent the email to me that's what happened about a month ago when the Macomb County ARPC or SPC, whatever it is, that incident that happened, but that way. But, you know, the email will explain it, and, I don't want to give away the person's name over the air who sent it to me.
Well, I'm at 13 in Southfield, and young Don is filling up his caddy. Got to say caddy, right? He's, the Tesla, the caddy. Don is filling up the caddy. So I thought he was taking 12 mile. He must have changed his mind.
He was saying he got diverted.
Oh. You know, mine says 14 miles to empty. I should probably be joining him.
Just coming up through beautiful Kegel Harbor. Oh.
Kegel Harbor, where the women have beautiful buns.
Aye, where men are men and sheep are scared.
I should buy an old church and just live out till my last days like a hermit living in an old church. The original 499 soft cloth car wash. The original. You mean to say that, I mean, either it was fairly current or he's been charging $4.99 for a long time.
Yeah, this should be about where my note kicks in. Hello, radio, N8NM, blue.
Well, you're making it, whatever system you're on, you are making it. That reminds me, Donald, did your node show up? I'm sure it didn't, but you never know. I'm sure you'd have said that if it did.
I am actually looking at the postal website as we speak. Expected delivery is tomorrow now by 8 o'clock. However, it left Pontiac Distribution Center at 242. No, the point in Pontiac at 242 has departed from a facility at 10:13 this morning. So it's on its way between Pontiac and Madison Heights. It's in the last hour. And it should be here tomorrow by 8 o'clock. Yep, there you go. Yeah, if it left the Pontiac Distribution Center, it's heading for the final destination. So it'll be out for delivery in the morning. Well, I have screenshots for that that were supposed to be on Saturday. Saturday now just says being transferred to the next facility into the charge here. So, I mean, I've got it tracked all the way back to shipping label being created. So, yeah, like I said last week, so much for delivery and the price I paid to get the express delivery. I'm getting a little small for me. And I'll get some of my money back, maybe all of it, because I complain a lot about that when that happens. When you pay for something and you don't get it, that's not my fault. You got to call. You left it in, it looks like, you know, San Francisco an extra day.
Roger, yeah, if you pay for today, you should get it in 2 days. Otherwise, give me the lower rate. I don't think you'd have any problem with that. Hey, Don, are you back in the car?
Who wants to know?
What happened? I thought you were on 12 Mile.
No, 12 Mile is closed. They made me go up to 13 Mile. I went 12 miles for like a mile, and they said, nope, you're done. Go to 13 miles.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you were on 12, and it was just crampus and slow. Because they had me avoid 12 at Telegraph as well. But now I'm 13. 13 past Woodward is down to one lane, but it's moving really well. I don't know if you're going to just go to Woodward. It looked good to Woodward. And then it gets cramped down to one, but it's still moving really good.
Yeah, I got stuck in that yesterday. I was going to mention that either it would be okay because there's not a lot of traffic or that it would be closed. But no, now I'm on Woodward, which is also down to two lanes for your convenience. Anyway. These are first world problems. I should stop complaining.
Speaking of which, I'm close enough now. I got to call in and find out what Mama wants for breakfast. Or maybe she wants lunch by this time. I'll be back. W8FU.
All right. Well, I'm going to navigate down Woodward to the office. I'll catch you later. T8BB.
And I'm pulling up in the driveway. N8NM. See you later.
W8RCY. Listening.
ECKQ.
WDAKLL monitoring.
W8FU, AV8PR.
KFA CZB monitor.
WAPD.
Mobile. W8RJD Mobile.
KFA CZV monitoring.
Is that KE8CZD? This is W8RJD Ryan.
Yeah, just set this puppy up here, this ICOM 9700 with a Comet A50, 30 feet in the air. Just wanted to see if, check it out and see if it's working.
Oh, it's working for you. You got full quieting into the repeater. I don't know how far away you are from the repeater, but that's a pretty good setup that you got there.
Yeah, I'm out here just west of Millington, actually Millington Road, but yeah, I was hoping so. I've had the radio for like a month and finally got around to get the antenna up in the air so I can get her hooked up. So, and power-wise, I think I'm set at about 35%.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't know where Millington Road is, so I'm guessing that's way up north, though. But, and what repeater are you getting into? Are you going into the Romeo repeater or probably not the Warren repeater?
No, actually, Mayville.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're doing great. I don't know exact. How far away are you from that Mayville repeater?
Let me see. Millington to Mayville, probably 20 miles, maybe.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that antenna's doing it for you. You say you had it about 30 feet up?
Yeah, 30 feet to the bottom, and of course it's only a 5 foot tall antenna, so yeah, about that.
Well, that'll get it done. Those common antennas are pretty good, so that'll definitely get it done. And at UHF, and you know, as long as there's not a whole lot of trees or anything obstructing, you should be fine. Yeah, you're definitely coming in good with the at 30%. I just got done, just left Bald Mountain State Recreation Area doing a Parks on the Air activation.
Yeah, okay. I know I've been monitoring a few of them here because, well, I just finished programming this thing too. The ones that I had in my mobile anyway, I programmed back into this one, and it sounded pretty quiet out there. I just figured I'd give her a shot and see.
Yep, I just happened to be on my way home from the park. I heard you, I called out about, I don't know, probably about, you know, 30 seconds before you did. I didn't get anybody till I heard you, pick up.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I just flipped it. When I called, I just flipped from the 2 meter side up to this one, so, you know, just to see if I could reach somebody, but glad to know it sounded good out that way anyway.
Yeah, you're full quieting. I'm going in through the Warren repeater, and I'm at am at 59 and Rochester Road, just getting off the highway.
Okay, well, you said you wasn't quite sure about Millington. It's M15 and Millington intersection, so it would be, let me see, from, I don't know if you're familiar, Davison to Millington is 17 miles, so I'm about 20 miles from Davison, I guess.
Okay, you're way up there. All right. Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's real nice that we have this this repeater coverage here, because I think they've got Warren site, a Mount Clemens site, they got a Romeo site, they've got something on West Bloomfield on the west side, and I didn't know about the Mayville repeater, but that's pretty cool that they've got one up there, because that's quite a bit of coverage all over Southeast Michigan.
Oh, I know. It makes it kind of nice. So, for somebody I was talking to the other day, and that's what they told me. I was on 44220, I believe it was, but it was kind of weak, so they had me switch two to Mayville. I guess they're all linked together.
Yeah, I think they're all linked through All-Star, and I don't know if you've played around any with All-Star making a... made a node or anything like that, but yeah, they can link those pretty efficiently through All-Star, and then plus you can have a node in your house, you know, in case you're not, you know, that way you can use your HT to get in as long as you got an internet connection. But All-Star's been pretty nice, because you know, you get the same kind of like, you know, connectivity that you get with like Echo Link and you know, the digital modes, but what I kind of like about it is that you know, you could set up your own node and use any one of your little HDs to connect to it.
Okay, well, this ends. I mean, I've been in radio since mid-70s, but basically 27 meter, and well, 11 meter, I should say, 27 frequency, but I'm just new on this end of it. I just got tech license here in December, so all of this is kind of new, but I'm liking it, man. It's quiet, like static-free compared to what I was used to, so I'm liking it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, as you get into this, you're going to find this is a heck of a hobby, man. There's so many different directions you can go with it. Like I said, I just got done setting up an HF, setting up my HF rig in the park. Band conditions on 20 meters wasn't so great today, but I did get, you know, plenty of contacts, probably about 30, 40 contacts in the span of an hour or so. Out there activating with just a wire antenna that I threw up into a tree.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. It's that's going to be my next project, I think, is to build a wire antenna. I want to get my general, but probably going to be this fall before I do that, because summertime here, and it's like, I ain't really going to spend the time studying right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I got licensed during the pandemic, like 2020, and I kind of rushed through all of the license things just because I was in the habit of studying, and so, you know, for it, so I was like, well, if I'm studying for the tech, I might as well study for the general, then once I got the general, I said, well, I might as well study for the extra, but really, truly, what I was missing was, you know, kind of just doing the kind of experimenting, because there's so much you can do with the tech level, and I just kind of like went to tech and then went straight to general, and then pretty much within a couple of months or two went to extra, and it, you know, and it was kind of overwhelming. There's so much you can do with tech, that with a tech license, that, you know, once you start going into rabbit holes, you know, there's just a lot you can do with a tech license that you'd be surprised about.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding out. That's what I mean. I'm liking it. Well, I went overboard, and let me see. I got an ICOM 7300. I got this 9700. I got an older 735. So I'm set when I get to the general. But right now they're just kind of like, well, not collecting dust because I got them covered up. But yeah, figured while I had the funds, I'd do it. And then when I get there, I should be all set, I hope.
Well, plus, you know, you can set those radios up for listening on all the HF bands, and you can have a lot of fun listening to those HF bands, you know, because those are really, all those radios are really good receive radios, so, you know, and you can listen, you know, to a lot more than just the ham bands, you know, and there's a lot going on out there with, you know, HF and on the other bands. So, you know, don't be afraid to get those radios out, dust them off, and do some listening out there, because there's a whole lot you can listen to.
Yep, I'm finding that out. I do monitor them now and then, but like I say, right now, I'm having more fun with this 9700, at least today anyway, just got her going.
Oh, yeah, and there's, like I said, there's just tons of repeaters out there, and I don't know if you heard of the, you're kind of out there, but they do have I think on Fridays they do a repeater crawl where they pick different repeaters, and they just kind of move and kind of rove through the different repeaters and see how everybody's coming in and get signal reports on different repeaters in the area. It's kind of a good opportunity to see, you know, how you're getting out there to different places in Southeast Michigan.
Okay, well, I guess I'll have to check into that further, see what the time frame is when they do it, because, well, of course, most of us work anymore anyway, so. But I'm usually, Fridays, I'm usually home by, like, 5, just after.
Yeah, I think they do that repeater crawl in the evening. My email address is good on QRZ. So if you're curious about doing that repeater crawl, shoot me an email. If you're on QRZ.com, shoot me an email and I'll send you over. They do a Google spreadsheet that gives the week by week listing of what repeaters they do.
Okay, I know the Carol Ham Club, which I joined here back, last year, October, I think it was. Anyway, they do a deal on Saturday morning at 9 and Monday evening at 7, and now they're starting one up on, what was it, Wednesday and Friday sometime, I think.
Oh, man, that's pretty good. That'll keep you busy. That's good. Yeah, you're definitely going to have a lot to do. Well, hey, I just got to my house. My QPH, I'm sitting in the driveway. So I'm going to get in there. I got to look at my house.
Okay. Well, hey, do you know here is
yes.
Pete?
I'll listen out.
You have a fine one, and 76 on your final. KF8CZV, you were clear.
W4XED, testing.
XED, this is W3LNS, I can hear you.
W4XED off.
What was that?
KF8EAT, listening.
Copy that, KF8EAT. This is KF8EDQ. You're coming in nice and clear.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Brian had his first run for going then.
Copy that. Yeah, you sound pretty good there. I think I can tell that you're driving from the noise coming through the microphone from other cars, but that's how clear you're coming in. So well, I'm located in Saginaw. I'm coming at you from the James Township repeater there.
Roger that. A lot of that noise is actually probably coming from the truck. I got some big knobby tires on it that are just annoyingly loud.
Yeah, copy that. It's like just some road noise, what you're describing, basically. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll let you drive safely and take care, sir. And this is KF8EDQ, clear and monitoring the frequency.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I caught all of that, WR0MN, this is KF8CSU.
W8FU.
Oh, yeah, N-A-N-M.
Yeah. What's up?
Nothing. Just sitting here, watching the news. This chick's kind of cute. I don't know what she's telling me. I'm just lost in her eyes.
There you go. Running out for some Culver's. I just remember, I don't think they got, you know, big thick slices of onion, so I'm going to have to stop at a store and get myself a big old onion I can slice into big slabs so I can doctor up my hamburger appropriately.
Ooh, they haven't had one of those for a while, one of their butter burgers. Pretty good. But the closest one we got, I think, is up the other side of Clarkston from us, so it's a little bit of a boogie. You got to be committed to the cause.
Don't forget the custard, WD8KLO. The custard, eh? Is that the ice cream products that they have in the cooler by the register, or is that something else? I can't have that stuff anyhow, so it doesn't matter. I think my wife once got some sort of ice cream or whatever thing, but not my thing.
What'd you end up getting her for lunch?
Strawberry pancakes.
Oh, yeah, and you can't go wrong with those.
Well, if the strawberries have botulism or something, I suppose you could, but short of that, yeah. Oh, man, I got to take my car in and get it detailed. I think it needs a, got a couple little blemishes on the outside. I think they can be buffed out. Get it deep cleaned inside and out. Any suggestions?
No, not really. There was a traveling detailer that a lot of people around here were using. But I don't, I'm too cheap to, and I've got too much time on my hands really to pay somebody else to do it.
If I felt I was up to the task, if I felt that I could do the job, but these places are amazing. I mean, they can take little nicks and scrapes, and I got a couple of spots around the car that are going to require some attention, and they've got all the, I'd probably make it worse. But if I felt I could do it, you know, they, and it's like, you know, I've done some pretty darn good cleaning jobs, but the difference between a place that details and my best cleaning job is like night and day, so I'm looking for that. I want that new car smell, feel, and look when I get it out.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible with any of my cars, but I did have a guy do, back when I was working, I had a guy do one of my cars, and it wasn't the Tesla. But he, did, he, like you said, he was able to get some pretty good little dings out or get them down to where you really had to look for them. I guess that's a better way to describe it. And it wasn't that bad. I want to say it was like 100 and some, you know, 100 bucks or something like that. And he spent the better part of a day here, so that's fair value. Of course, you know, you gotta adjust for inflation now. But I think just knowing what materials and products to use on a lot of this stuff is key to that business.
I think you're right. And god darn it. Do I have a, no. Let's see, am I dragging a bag? No, I think you're right. And
and, oh, let's see here. I shouldn't be in this lane. But using the right utensils and the right tools and the right, you know, everything is, it's all about that. So that's why I want to just take it somewhere and get that done. I am here at the grocery store. I'm going to run in there and get my onion. And I'll be back. W8FU.
I'll more than likely be here. N8NM.
This is KF8DFU monitoring.
Of course I got the car washed. Of course I did.
Oh, it's not raining, is it?
Probably just over my head. I mean, nowhere else.
Bummer.
I'm at 12 and Stevenson. And it doesn't look like there's anything much to the north or the south. Looks like just a little squall. Just a rain on my parade.
Yeah, the sun's out here through that haze, but, you know, it's kind of blue-gray sky.
I was doing the Jax monthly. And I think it was up at like $24.95 a month. And I just found that months were going by where I wasn't getting my money's worth. You know, you never knew. Some months you'd want, you know, you'd use the heck out of it. You'd beat them at their game. But there were too many months, you know, I just wouldn't get, not necessarily from Jack's, you know, because they jack their price up to like, you know, $10, $12 a wash, and then, you know, see, you only got to wash your car twice to, you know, to break even. Yeah, if I went there, but guess what? I ain't going to your car wash. So I got one up the street for me. I like it the best pretty much of the ones. And they do a thing where it's like buy five, get five. And I think they're $8 a wash. But then if you buy five, they get five free. So you get 10 washes for $40, which that ain't bad. And you can use them anytime you want. If you want to use all 10 in a month, so be it. If you want to use, you know, over the course of a year, fine. So that suits my style better.
Yeah, Pam has one of those monthly services, and we were talking about it and saying pretty much the same thing. So I don't know if she canceled it. It's like at first it's like every other day you're going getting the car washed just because you can, and then you find yourself letting it go just as long as you did before.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely go more often, but there were just times where it wasn't convenient or I just didn't need to, you know. I went a few times when I didn't need to, but... All right, I'm here at the Culver's. I'm next up, so I'm going to pay attention here so I can figure out what the hell I'm buying.
Yeah, you don't want to make any mistakes there. All righty, N8NM.
W8FU. This place is weird. It's like, there's always, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cars all waiting past the window. It's like automatic. You never get your food at the window at Culver's. It's the only place I've ever seen like that.
How soon we forget about yesterday morning at Starbucks.
the same thing. They didn't have us pull forward and wait for our order. That's what I'm talking about. You never get your food at the window at Culver's. I think one time in all the times I've ever been to Culver did I ever get my food at the window. It's always put a sticker on your car and have you pull forward. Sticker on the car and have you pull forward. Every time.
Valid point. I stand corrected.
I guess that's the other option is just get them all backed up in the drive-thru, but it seems to me it'd be easier for them to deal with it that way. I guess it's all a matter of where they have you wait, before or after, so I guess it doesn't matter. If they weren't doing it that way, we'd all be backed up just to get to the drive-thru.
Copy that. W8RCY. We'll be listening.
KU4ZYQ, question to Sean.
No, I do not have my food yet.
Sean, I was just going to ask. I don't get out much. And I'm wondering, this is Joe, Juliet Oscar Echo, KU4ZYQ. I'm wondering where the closest Culver's, whatever the restaurant you're talking about, I believe that's a fish place that does a lot of fish. Where's the closest one to Clinton Township?
Well, I wouldn't call them a fish joint. They do have fish. They're kind of a, just kind of like a step up hamburger. They're a hamburger outfit. And they're a step up from, you know, like McDonald's and Burger King and all that. They're better than that. They have some, their ice cream is pretty famous, or maybe it's custard, I don't know, frozen custard, but their ice cream combinations are really good. Their butter burgers, what they're kind of known for. They do have some pretty good fish. They used to, I don't know if they still have it, they had a pot roast dinner you could get. They got some pretty good stuff. The food is better than typical for, you know, a fast food joint. As far as where there is one, I know there's one right up there by you. You'd have to ask the guys up that way. I know Eric goes to it frequently, and he lives in Utica, so it's up that way somewhere, probably along Hall Road somewhere maybe, but although I don't remember ever seeing it. And by this time, somebody's champing the bit to get in and tell you.
I got an answer.
Go ahead and answer.
There is one in the Meyer parking lot at 13 Mile and Little Mac in Roseville there, right by the 13 Mile Road, I-94 exit. I'm not sure if there's one on Hall Road. I've never seen one.
That's a little drive for me for just some food, but I think somebody said there's one either in Shelby Township, somewhat north of me, north of Hall Road somewhere. I have to look it up. I'll be energetic and look it up, but thanks anyhow. Good luck on your food there, Sean. KU4ZYQ, scanning the frequencies.
Well, the one at 13 Little Mac would be, I understand you live in Clinton Township there, Joe. Yeah, that would be good here towards the southern half of the city there. The one at 13 Little Mac would work. All right. W8RCY. Go back to chilling. Have a good night, everybody.
I appreciate that, by the way, that info that I didn't know. I just... a little bit of conversation and information at the same time. If I'm ever that way and then it's around meal time, lunch or dinner or something, I probably could pick something up. So, hey, it's good to know no matter what. But thanks, KU4ZYQ.
Yeah, Joe, like I said, I know there's one that Eric goes to. It's heading your way. It might not be on Hall. Might actually be on 21 or something, so you got one. There's one up there by you somewhere. I don't know exactly where.
Yep, QSL that. Yeah, I'm just going to look it up right now just out of curiosity. If I find it, I'll tell you. KE4ZYQ. Yeah, there is one in Chesterfield, which is north of me, so there you go. Marketplace Boulevard, Chesterfield. There you go. So I figured there was one. I thought there was one a little north of me.
Okay, I got my goods on my way home. I stopped and got myself a big old Vidalia onion so I can cut myself a big old slab, dress up these burgers and make them legit. So, Murph, you worked on either one of them, any one of those yet?
Nah.
I think the most intriguing one is that 37. That one's the most intriguing. I actually did power that one up. I thought, ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, I did get that far with them. I went through and kind of did a initial assessment. And other than the cosmetic damage, mic cords was the big problem. But the 37, I think, may have gotten zorched. Looks like it was modded for packet, maybe, and it's stuck in transmit. It seems to go into, you know, receive when you do a hard reset on it, and it goes through its boot sequence and stuff, but it's got a problem.
Yeah, I didn't take any notes. I just remember it didn't look right. I knew it didn't check any of the other ones, basically. And now, mind you, that was stuff that was in, you know, boxes in the basement. So, I mean, this wasn't, you know, frontline equipment or anything. So, it's likely all, you know, got issues.
Yeah, it's the residue. That's what I call it. I've got a closet full of, well, it's a large closet. It's a room full of it down in the basement.
Nicotine or just age?
Both.
Roger. There you go. I was kind of surprised at those UV5Rs. I mean, I don't know why, but those things haven't been around all that long, and they're both zonked.
Yeah, one didn't seem to be powering on at all. It was bricked. The other one, it would lose receive audio after a while. So I know I paid like $21 a piece for them when I bought a dozen ones, so I didn't want to put any extra time into them.
That is the thing, you know. Where's the repair depot for Bofang?
Yeah, there is none. It's one of those places where they sell the stuff people return via Amazon.
And you know, that's, even though I'm happy to make, you know, commentary on their products, that's not what that is. It's a commentary on the price. You know, how could you possibly have a repair facility doing a repair on radios that are $10, $15, $20, you know, even $40, $50? You know, I mean, what could you possibly do that would be more economically feasible than just giving them a replacement?
Yeah, exactly, because the minute you write up the trouble ticket, you're losing money on the job.
Yep, it really is a bizarre, world we live in, where you can buy electronics for those kind of prices. It's like, you know, it more talks about disparity in the global economy than in living conditions and stuff, because it's crazy. All right, I'm home. I do got popsicles or fudgicles and some frozen waffles, so not going to dilly-dally. Got to get them in. I'll be back.
WAFU.
Very good. Just handmade banana pudding. So I'm stuffing my trap full of that stuff right now. Catch you in a bit. N8NM.
U4ZYQ, you guys talking about ice cream or something like that. I don't know if anybody remembers the old Dilly Bars. Used to be at the Dairy Queen. Or at, I can't remember that place in Mount Clements. It was a Dairy, not a Dairy Queen ice cream place, but a Miller Brothers, there you go. Miller Brothers Creamery had Dilly Bars.
Love you, indeed.